your Bibles up to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Several weeks ago, we did a series. We looked at some family lessons, some family applications. We looked at the work of the wife, the role of the wife. We looked at the love that a husband is to have toward his wife. We want to continue in looking at some of those family relationships today. We'll do this maybe every month and a half or so. Just if so many relationships we have in the home are symbolic in a lot of ways of the relationship we have with God. And the better we get at one, the better we can be at the other. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Let's talk about that today. That word honor there, meaning to treat as valuable. Probably the closest word that we could just insert there would be respect. If we think of honor as a way of respecting, to treating something as a valuable commodity, that's what's being referred to there when it talks about how a child is to view their parents. It's part of God's order. It's a part of God's order of love that this happened. There's no scene you can see that possibly could be more disgusting, more nauseating than to see disrespect toward a parent. Can you imagine the sassing that goes on? Sometimes just not just verbal abuse, but sometimes even translated into physical abuse. There's a man I heard speak. I don't know him. One of those gospel meetings you get to go to, there was a man that was teaching. He told the story of one time how he showed up at he was going to the mall to do some shopping back when malls were a big deal. And he says he was walking in the front door. There's this car pulls up. Teenager gets out, young guy not able to drive yet, gets out, walking toward, mom rolls the window down and says something to him, and he turns around right there in front of the main entry and just goes, "What's your problem? What do you want?" And then later on, the man talked out, he saw that young guy walking around the mall, and he said, probably you would look at him and say, "Well, what a nice young man." Yet he had seen what he really was. And it's not the scene that we want to see. It's certainly not a relationship that we want. And so first of all, we're going to just kind of bounce back and forth between the parents and the children in this. Parents, first of all, you treat a lack of honor. And you treat this lack of respect as firmly and as seriously as you treat anything. These occurrences, when they occur, that's not the time to sit down and have a talk about virtues. That is not the time to send them to the room so they can go in there and pout by themselves. And it is certainly not the time you forget that God put you in charge. So you deal with these and you deal with them firmly, because to ignore this is to lay the groundwork for losing a lot bigger battles later on. There is a whirlwind coming. Mike is the one I think that mentioned that. Excuse me. Hosea, there's a whirlwind coming. There's a Category 5 hurricane coming towards your house if we don't deal with this. The disposition that a child shows toward their parents is often a measure of the training or lack of training that they've received. So there is a role for the parents. That's what we'll talk about in about an hour and a half. But for right now, we're talking to the role of the child. The honor to be given, the respect to be given. And look at me, teenagers. Honor your father and your mother. That's a command. That is a responsibility you have, whether they have trained you properly or not. Maybe they dropped the ball on some things. It doesn't change a word of what you just read. God gave you this responsibility toward them, and it's your responsibility whether they have failed in some of their roles or not. We're talking to you now. We will talk to the parents later. But this is for you. I want you to see how serious it is. Look in chapter 17. I'm sorry. The very next chapter, verse 17. Chapter 21, verse 17. He that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Now, first of all, make sure you understand what that word curse is there. Don't think that means using some foul language. We use the word cursing and we think about those words that we're not supposed to say. That's not what that word's talking about. If you have a newer translation, it will use the word dishonor. It's a phrase that means to treat lightly. You know what it is? That word is the antonym of Exodus 20, verse 12. Go look them up when you get home. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor them. Exodus 21, verse 17, if you dishonor them, worthy of death. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30. We're looking at God's view of this. This culture might not take this very seriously. God takes it serious. And that's what we want to see. That's what we want to recognize. In Exodus 21, to dishonor is to be worthy of death. By the way, it might be a really good time to thank God for that better covenant we have that the Hebrew writer mentions of, huh? Because if it were the law of Moses was still in effect, how many of us might have been taken out the city and stoned? Because of what we just read in Exodus 21. Serious. That's how God looked this to be. And now Proverbs 30, look at verse 17. The eye that mocks his father. The ones who talk about how silly they are. The ones who go to their friends and make fun of them. The eye that mocks his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck those eyes out and the young eagles will eat it. That's how serious it is in God's eyes. In Exodus 21, he says it's worthy of death. In Proverbs 30, leave them in the field and let the scavengers have their body. That's exactly what Proverbs 30, verse 17 is saying. Let the birds have their eyes. Let the jackals and the coyotes have their bones. We want to see how serious this is. We won't take it serious if we don't recognize maybe how serious God takes it. That's how serious it is. There is no leniency shown. There will be no leniency shown in judgment. He's given us insight into how disgusting it is to Him. So let's talk about it then. How do we honor? How do we show the respect? How do we treat as valuable? First of all, let's talk about listing. Go back to Proverbs 1. Over and over and over this phrase. I'm just going to pull out three or four of them. But it runs throughout the early part of Proverbs. Now, kids have always had trouble listening to parents' advice. It's not a new thing. Those of you that are struggling with that, everybody in here gets it. Everybody in here has dealt with it. You can just look back through some scripture. Samson ignored every piece of advice he ever got. We see a lot of people, even in scripture, ignoring advice from their parents. And yet here's Proverbs, here's wisdom from above, and there's a theme that just pops up over and over. Proverbs 1, look in verse 8. My son, let's just pluralize that. My children, my child, hear the instruction of your father. Listen. Look in chapter 13. Chapter 13. Again in verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1, a wise son hears his father's instruction. Now, this is a real quick, real easy application. If that's what a wise one is, if that's what a wise child, what would be an unwise child? If a wise one will listen, what would be one who doesn't listen? What would God call that? Look at that next phrase. A scorner won't listen to rebuke. They won't listen to it. That word for scorner there, some of the newer translations use the word scoffer. That word, kind of interesting, that word scoffer, scorner, it's, I guess the best way to describe it in words that we would be using today, it would be someone who's considered to be unteachable. Somebody who, the phrase, know-it-alls. You know when you know-it-alls? What do you think about them? That's what that word means. The wise will hear. The know-it-all, unteachable one won't heed it. What you got over and over? As a matter of fact, let me give you one more. Look in chapter 23. Chapter 23. You've just got these constant, repetitive, urgent expectations to comply. Chapter 23, verse 22. Listen to your father that begat you. Do not despise your mother when she is old. It's just this over and over. The idea of listen. Why is there so many repetitions of it? Because the Lord knows something about us. He created us. He knows how we're wired. It's always been a problem. Now, let me talk real quickly to the younger ones. Kids, teens, whatever, I'm just going to use the word kids, whatever the age may be, can't possibly understand yet what maturity and experience gives. I want you to imagine, kids, you're 16. Go back and talk to yourself. Imagine you go back and talk to yourself when you were 6. You're 18. Go back and imagine having a conversation with your 8-year-old self. You're 15, go back and have a conversation with your 5-year-old self. You know what you knew? You know what you knew when you were 5 and 6 and 8? You probably thought you had all the answers then too. Now, as an 18-year-old, you go back and talk to the 8-year-old, and you know a whole lot more than that one did. The 16-year-old, you go back and have a conversation with your 6-year-old self. You understand a lot more now than you did then. You've been hurt. You've struggled. You've overcome things. You have been disappointed. You understand more than you did 10 years from now. Now, here's my point. What do you think your 28-year-old self will say to your 18-year-old? What do you think 10 years from now the 26-year-old says to the 16-year-old? And the 50, and the 25 to the 50, it's the same thing. When you were 8, you didn't know what you didn't know. And now 10 years later, you know a whole lot more. And the problem is, you still don't know what you don't know because you haven't experienced enough. You still had parents who have taken care of a lot of the heavy lifting, even as a teenager, being more controlled by hormones than experience, being more controlled sometimes by hormones than rational thoughts. It's the same situation. You haven't walked into enough situations to comprehend sometimes what your parents are telling you. It's the folly of youth. And there's nothing that can speed that up in experience. And think of the prodigal son. Give me my stuff. I know how to handle it. I'll show you how smart I am, Dad. How'd that work out? Worked out as good then as it does now. Parents, now your turn. Train them well in those impressionable years when they're young. Train them well to honor and trust your wisdom and teach them, train them that it'll work out in the end. It'll someday make some sense. Train them when they're young to see that and to recognize the possibility of that. Start when they're young. Working there. Again, we'll get to you later, but I'm just bouncing back and forth between these. So we want to listen over and over in Proverbs. Listen, hearken, hear. Okay. Yeah. I'm listening. We're listening and obeying. It's not just about hearing. It's not just letting the auditory stuff work. It's not just listening only. It's listening with the intention of obeying. Let me give you just a couple of verses just to save some time. I put them up on the board. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Not just now, Proverbs, listen. Now, listen and do. Obey your parents in the Lord. Colossians 3, children, obey your parents. For this is right. Colossians 3, obey them. What? This is well pleasing. It's not just about being in the culture. It's not just about making a good example when you get out at the mall right there at the double doors. No. It's about pleasing God. Obey. This is well pleasing. Obey. This is right. It's not just a nice thing. It's a sacred command. So we're underlining these, emboldening these, just to make sure that we get the point, to see how significant and serious that this is. And one more thing to emphasize in this. In the Lord. That's the only exception to when you would not obey a parent. Is if they ask you to do something that's contrary to God's will. The only restriction to this. Oh, excuse me. The only limitation to this. The only exception to this command. You obey them. This is right. You obey them. This is well-pleasing. And the only exception would be if they'd ask you to do something that's not well-pleasing to God. Same exception that we have in honoring our government. Same exception we would have in honoring what the Old Testament calls masters, what we would apply as being bosses, etc. We obey. Unless there's something asked of us that would be contrary to God's will. I hope that would never happen to you, but it could. Just to throw some scenarios out, it's not the way God planned it, but it's the way that life is for some. They're faithful mother, unfaithful dad. Faithful dad, unfaithful mother. However, it might be. Sometimes some more concerned about spiritual things than others. And so one parent asking, hey, don't tell your mom we did this. Don't tell your dad this is what happened. It's my weekend. Let's not go to church today. You honor because it's right. You honor because it's well-pleasing. But don't sin for somebody. And that's the only time. Hopefully, I hope this is all hypothetical. I hope none would ever be asked to do anything wrong. But if it should, you don't honor them over God. You don't respect them over God. And the day will come, not when you're 5, not when you're 6, but the day will come when you'll be old enough to stand on your own. And let that happen. Build yourself and strengthen yourself so that that would happen. Because there is listening to be done. There is honoring and obeying to be done. And to honor is to be thankful. Look in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Kids, when they are young, they're just takers. That's all there is to it. Kids take. That's all they know to do. And they don't know the phrase, but all they realize is the world seems to revolve around me. When I cry, things get done. When I get hungry, things change. When I want something, when I need something, everything else that goes gets put on hold. Is that not the life of the young ones? Yeah. And so all these things going on. And they are the center of everybody's attention. And everything they need is just beck and call. And by nature, they're not very thoughtful. The 2-year-old doesn't recognize the sacrifices. And they become the 5-year-old that might not recognize the sacrifices. And they become the 8-year-old who might not recognize all that's being done. All that's being seen to and taken care of. All the provisions that's being made. And what happens is, without proper training, they never really learn to appreciate it. In Luke 17, there's a situation that shows this. And we probably will, at one point, might need to spend more time with this. But for right now, let's just kind of hurriedly look through it. You remember the time of leprosy? This horrible disease, incurable at the time. And in verse 17... I'm sorry, chapter 17, verse 12. It says, Jesus entered into a certain village. There were 10 men that were lepers, stood afar off. You know why they're afar off? Because they can't get close to anybody. So they're far off and they're yelling these things. What are they yelling, verse 13? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And they're having to yell it because they can't come into the vicinity of anybody. And you know the story. Jesus heals them. Has them go off, has them go as the law required to be seen of, to be acknowledged as able to come back in to the group. Drop down to verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet. First time he's been around somebody's feet that wasn't a leper in a long, long time, by the way. Fell down at his feet and gave him thanks. Jesus later on asked, where's the others? I thought there were 10 of you. Now imagine you're one of them. One of those 10. Who knows how long you've had it? Just pick a time frame in your mind of how long you have been isolated. Think about how long it's been since you got to hug your wife or hug your husband. Think about how long it's been since you got to kiss your kids. Think about how long it's been since you've had any type of closeness. So there's a lot of things on your mind. I want to go hug them. I want to go kiss them. I can have a job again. I can provide again. Let me go see if I can find some work. Let me go. And there's a lot of things you probably want to do. What should have happened first is to tell the one who made it possible, thank you. And Jesus says, where are the rest? Inferring they should have been just as thankful, just as appreciative. So here's this application. Here's speaking to the young. You haven't paid a single utility bill in your life. Every day you go to the refrigerator and open it up and you're eating and drinking stuff that you didn't feel and that you didn't pay for and that you didn't work for and that you didn't sweat for. And either this morning or tonight or tomorrow you're going to go to the bathroom and you're going to pull on some hot water and you're going to clean yourself. And you didn't pay for that either. And don't forget to be thankful. Because here's the issue. If we don't, remember when John makes the statement, if you don't love the ones you see, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? If we're not thankful for these tangible things that we can see and feel and touch, and how are we going to be truly thankful for the untangible? Forgiveness, heaven, fellowship, grace, mercy. If we're not thankful for these things we see down here, that people are giving and offering and working for and making available, we won't be thankful for the others. And so parents, when we're teaching the one-year-old, the two-year-old, the three-year-old, thanks. I tell them, thank you. You're laying groundwork for one day them showing thanks to God. You're laying groundwork for a change of spirit because kids are takers. That's all they're born doing that. They cry and they get something and they want something, and so you stop doing what you're doing to make sure they get it. They're takers. But if we can instill this trait, one day they're going to be a giver too. And one day they will be the one going above and beyond to help another. Don't take this for granted, kids, is the point. Appreciate it. Look at these things, listening, obeying, thinking. Our culture, our science teachers, they're going to tell your children, your grandchildren, for the most part, that they came from animals. And if someone's a lot smarter than me said a long, 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 long time ago, they're going to live up to that. You tell them they came from an animal, a lot of times they're going to act like an animal. So let's make sure they know where they came from. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Teach them to understand their origin. Teach them respect for God. And what will happen is, respect for God will translate ultimately into respect in everything God respects. If we learn to respect God, we will respect those who He tells us to. It's command. If we honor Him, we'll honor who He tells us to love. If we honor Him, we'll honor who He tells us to respect. If we love Him, we'll obey. This stuff comes right back down to God, doesn't it? We have to listen to Him. But we can't listen to Him while shaking our head. We listen to Him and we obey. And we thank Him for the blessings that we have in Him and through Him and by Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. How do you remember Him? You remember Him by listening to Him, obeying Him, thanking Him. Verse 13 will give us a good idea into what that remembering is about. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth while the evil days have not come. Those evil days doesn't mean bad things happening to you. You read through the rest of chapter 12. The evil days is talking about old age. It talks about the ones whose eyes can't see very well anymore. It talks about the one who's walking with three legs, which refers to a cane. It talks about the one who can't hear very well. It talks about the one who can't sleep very well. They just can't rest at night anymore, tossing and turning and every 30 minutes waking up and looking at the clock. Things that the teens here don't know about yet. But if you live long enough, they're coming. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's what this list is about. This has not been to embarrass anybody. This has not been to make anybody feel bad. This has been to remind us. There are things to remember. Remember them while you're young. Look in verse 13. Let us then hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And you think back to the whole lit of Ecclesiastes, life under the sun. You've got Solomon, richest man on the earth, smartest man on the earth, one with the ability and wisdom and possessions and authority to get whatever he wanted. And the Ecclesiastes letter is, I look for happiness in building stuff. I look for happiness in traveling. I look for happiness in relationships. I look for happiness through women. I look through happiness with drinking. And it's all under the sun. And it all amounts to nothing. And then he gets here to the very last sentence. This is the end of it. Here's the conclusion. After all that experimentation, after all the stuff I tried, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commands. It's the whole of man. It's the whole duty. It's the whole purpose. It's why we're here, is to please Him. I sure hope, you've gone through, the adults in here have gone through the United Kingdom not very long ago. And we know the weaknesses of Solomon. We know bad decisions that he made. And we know how his priorities were. I sure would like to think that's the last words he ever wrote. I hope that's the last thought on his mind before he went to meet the forefathers. We're not there. We've got to still get to this point. So we're talking about honoring parents. Now transition that. Let's bend this into an invitation. And let's do these very same points in thinking of children of God. Listen to Him. Hear Him. Obey Him. Thank Him. Respond to Him. Get your psalm books out. This has not been to make anybody feel bad. It's been to open up our eyes. Everybody in here is a child of someone, or if their parents had passed on, you was a child of someone. These are relationships we can understand. These are things we can get because every one of us taking breath has experienced it. Well, there's responsibilities that come with it, and we're just going to over every month or so just look at some of them. So today, honoring parents, children's role. Here in a little bit, we'll look at the training, the teaching, the parent's role. We'll do that in just a little bit. But let's remember how we can apply this to our Father in heaven. Do we listen? Do we obey? Do we thank? Because it's in His eyes, it's a very nauseating thing when that's not there. Leave them in the field and let the birds have them. We don't live like that. So let's respond any way we might help you with while we stand and sing.